You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
So we are sans Dave tonight, and and we're going to talk about Tom Petty.
Yeah.
Which, very cool.
Yeah, I'm very excited. My my wife is one of the biggest Tom Petty fans. We'll get into that in a little bit. Yeah, she's a huge, huge Tom Petty fan.
I just had a weird, I don't know if you'd call it karma or what you would call it, but so we and several other couples' families meet on Sunday night sometimes, couples from our church, and we'll drop the kids off at the church and then go back to somebody's house and talk, you know, just have adult time, which is awesome. But anyway, so I'm going back to the church. I pick up my little girl, and sometimes the band will practice on Sunday nights. Mm-hmm. What are they playing? They're playing American Girl.
No way.
I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And I just kind of walked in and sat down in the in the sanctuary. I'm like, I'm having a surreal moment.
That's just awesome.
Okay, we're going to be talking about Tom Petty, and they're just jamming to American Girl.
Yeah.
So nice.
That was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
And you like to say it's one of his best, but there's so many that are of his best.
Oh, oh,
I'm still trying to rearrange some stuff around here as you guys are talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough to come up with a top five.
Well, let me start the show. To another Banzai Retro Club podcast. We are doing a, I like to call it like a mixtape auto reverse flip side that we are putting together because we're covering more than just one decade. We're gonna be talking about a few decades and maybe even into the 2000s, just because of this artist that we're gonna be talking about, and it's Tom Petty. And we lost him last year, and it was tragic, and he was too young for that. But he has left a legacy that is amazing. He's got so many good things to talk about. So we have Rose, one of the usual suspects, and then we have Jason.
Hello.
We have Jason with us again from Rediscover the 80s, and
hello.
The podcast and the blog and the website. Go check out his website and stuff at rediscoverthe80s.com. And so let's go ahead and get into Tom Petty. So about 11 or 12 years ago, my wife went through she went through a fight with cancer and beat it, which was awesome. But during that time, she asked for something, and she asked for the Tom Petty documentary, Running Down a Dream. Mm-hmm. And it blew me away. I mean, I always loved Tom Petty. I mean, he's been a huge influence in the music industry for so long that how can you know, if you're a music lover, how can you not appreciate what he's brought to the table over the years?
Yeah.
But that video, I don't know if you guys have seen the documentary, but it's amazing. It's really a good story. It's really long. I mean, like 3.5 hours of total footage. But it's really, really good stuff. It's very interesting. You get to hear his whole story. But what we're going to do tonight is the three of us are going to kind of try we're gonna try to narrow down our like top five Tom Petty songs, and that's really really hard to do as a huge Tom Petty fan. You know, somebody that's not so much a fan that's just like, yeah, I like Tom Petty. They could probably name off two or three songs that they like by him, but I'm going through his library. I'm like, man, how do you do this? Right.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Really. So you've obviously heard how I feel about him, how I respect him. And he's just an amazing musician and writer and influence. Jason, what's your take on Tom Petty overall? What's your like general feel on him?
I've been a fan for at least, I would say, 25 years. Mm-hmm. Tom is one of those artists that I group in what I call the Columbia House era for me. And what I mean by that is, y'all remember Columbia House and mm-hmm. BMG, and you know, you get 12 CDs or cassettes or records, whatever era you were in, for a penny, you know, and they would send you in the mail and you get signed up for the club. And when I initially signed up for that, which was in the early 90s when I was in high school, I went for the greatest hits albums, and I kind of regret that. And I kind of feel like maybe some of the albums of the 80s, even earlier, have been kind of robbed from my experience, I guess you'll say, just because, you know, when you're trying to maximize, you know, 12 albums, you know, for free, you want to try to get all the hits you can in there, the ones you're used to listening to.
That you recognize, so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think it was, it might have been around 92 or 91 when his greatest hits came out. And that's where I kind of found Tom's music, I guess, previous to like Full Moon Fever and like the mid-80s kind of stuff. And I went back to like Damn the Torpedoes and back in the like the mid-late 70s, you know, when he first started hitting the airwaves. And so that's kind of my experience with him. That Greatest Hits album, I can't believe I still have it and it still works as much as it's scratched up as I went and looked at it today. Because I just, you know, all those tracks on there were great, and that's really what kind of broke me into, all right, well, let me check out more of the albums in their full and listen to them in their entirety more than just the singles that were, you know, released to the radio. So, and then that spawned, what was the album that came out right after that? Was it Wildflowers?
Yeah, 1994.
Yeah, that was a big one for me. I remember playing that one a lot. And even that the soundtrack he did for, what was it? It's the one with the single Walls on it.
It's called She's the One.
She's the One, yes.
Yeah. It's got one. I'm going to be mentioning that later. It's got one of my favorites.
Yeah,
on there.
I'm not. I'm trying not to go into them too much right now. But
yeah.
between the Greatest Hits and then Wildflowers and She's the One was really when that was the sweet spot that Tom's music hit me, and then I really kind of went back in time to discover it a little bit more. So that's been kind of my experience with his music. And I've even enjoyed, you know, some of the later albums, like you were saying, when we first moved here to Montgomery in 2006, that was when Highway Companion dropped. Mm. And I remember that one single from that album, as I'm scrolling through my notes here, that one, it was on the radio quite a bit when we first moved here. So it's funny, you know, songs put you in a moment in time. So I kind of grouped that song with when we first moved here, to Montgomery. But anyway, I'll stop blabbing now and I'll let, Rose tell her story and her experience with Tom.
That's okay. I think it's kind of hard to just say, you know, okay, here's five songs by Tom Petty. And, you know, 'cause my list, I have like 14 on here, it's a little more than five. But, you know, I had to kind of go with what I knew. And I'm a firm believer. It's just like, I know what I know, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense. I will honestly give credit to my husband for reintroducing me to Tom Petty. When he came over in 2000 from Scotland, he had quite a few of his albums. And we had talked extensively on the phone before he came, and trying to measure our weight in compatibility, I guess, as far as what music we listened to. And he already knew that I was more on the pop end of the spectrum, where he was like heavily into the rock end. And one of the questions, well, what do you think of Tom Petty? I'm like, well, you know, he's like a mainstay. He's like, who doesn't listen to Tom Petty? And of course, I said that without owning a single album that he ever made. But I knew the hits. I knew the hits from the radio. And he says, well, you know what? I may have something to give you when I come over. So I'm like, oh, okay. He said, maybe take, you know, a little out of the norm and see what you think of it. And that's when I was introduced to the Traveling Wilburys. And I've owned so many different versions. I don't even say versions, because I give them to people. You know, I give it to my stepson 1 year for his birthday, and I actually mailed it to him and said, here, you know, if you don't know what you want to listen to, listen to that, you know. And I introduced it to people as well. It's a super group of, like, you know, major recording artists that you wouldn't think would ever be on a compilation. It's not even a compilation album. It's just, you know, their rendition of their songs that they wrote, and they all collaborated on this whole album. And, you know, Tom Petty, I think, was really good at what he did. He was just very excellent at songwriting. He was very excellent at storytelling. And it was like he was born to do it. Mm-hmm. They're always saying, you know, musicians are not, you know, born, they're made. It was like, not necessarily. Because, you know, you don't span decades of a career, you know, and never falter in what you do. You may not be on the cutting edge, and you may not be as relevant, but you find a way because you are that entity. So it's just, I don't know, I have fond memories of listening to his stuff and just, you know, really going, yeah.
It's like he had a groove that he found, just rode that from, you know, the beginning of his album career, mm-hmm. even through, you know, right before his death, he was still on tour. Mm-hmm. So he just found that groove and knew how to press his fans' buttons, for a lack of word. And it was, you know, Tom Petty, you instantly know what he sounds like, his voice, his, you know, styles and all that. And I feel like he's kind of one of those artists where you either love him or just do not like him at all. Really, I don't think, at least from people that I talked with, like right after he died. So what do you think about Tom Petty? And it was always kind of the extreme. So, for what it's worth, I don't know. I was on the love end of that and mm-hmm. really appreciated what he did and how he just carried that career, you know, for so long.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it goes back to the early days of MTV. 'Cause, you know, I was in high school mm-hmm. and just before high school when MTV hit the market, and I remember the songs Refugee and Here Comes My Girl, and I remember those videos. And I will tell you, this is not one of my picks for a favorite song, but American Girl, on the opening scene of, you know, one of the opening scenes, part of the opening of Fast Times at Ridgemont High, is, you know, it's an iconic 80s movie. it an American Girl was it just it fits so well in it, and that's just something. Every time I hear that song, I it brings me right to the beginning of that movie, and it's awesome. So, just going back to the videos of early MTV and getting to know who he was then, you know, he was really truly an amazing artist. So, do we want to start with our picks? Are you guys ready?
Sure. Yeah.
Sure.
Well, Jason, why don't you go ahead and give me your number five?
Okay. Wow, this is so hard. And I wanted to not necessarily pick the obvious choices, and I went a little bit deeper on a couple of these picks, but the first one I chose is a Christmas song. It's from, you know, we watch Home Alone multiple times a year around Christmas, and it's Christmas All Over Again. Love that song. I don't know why it necessarily, if it was because of that movie and hearing that and thinking about it's Kevin on the plane and they're all taken off on the plane during that movie when that song appears. But that, you know, obviously is a huge tie-in. But and my wife hates the song, so it's kind of one of those, you know, bittersweet songs. But I went ahead and chose that as my number five, and it's on a pretty cool album too. It was like a compilation album released, I think, in the like late 80s. I'm gonna have to find it here, but it's got several artists: U2, Sting, even Run DMC. Christmas and Hollis is on that one. And
a very special Christmas.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Randy Travis, Luther Van. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's such a great album. It is. It really is of artists at the time, and then, you know, coming together to do that Christmas album. So I went ahead and chose that one.
That's awesome.
That is a good one. It's one of the few Christmas songs that I can actually tolerate still. so many of them you hear over way too many times, but that one's something I actually appreciate. Yeah, that's a good one. So, now, you said that your wife hates the song. How does she feel in general about Tom Petty? Is she a fan?
Not really. She'll tolerate a few of them. I typically, if we're on a road trip, I won't bring the greatest hits along. Because there's a few that she's like, just please. So, and I guess, I don't know if it's just the voice, and I don't know if it's a little bit of maybe country, kind of a twang that people kind of latch on that maybe don't really are not into country music. And I'm not really a country music fan at all. And more, I guess, maybe with the Traveling Wilburys, they sound a little more country. But it just never hit with me because it is straight rock and roll.
Yeah.
And, even though you get a little maybe organ or even some of the guitar, it sounds more like a steel guitar. But I don't know what it is that kind of turns her off. But it's a, like I said, Tom's bittersweet around here because I love to listen to him, but then I'll hear, all right, that's enough.
Oh, Lordy.
Well. Yeah. And Rose, you said your husband's a fan. Let me tell you about my wife. So, you know, in your car we have the satellite radio, and they have a Tom Petty station. Well, that's the number one preset in our car.
Nice.
Because of Chrissy, she absolutely loves him. You know, it all went back to that. You know, when she got the documentary, and she just fell in love with his story and his, you know, his roots and his, you know, his music overall. So I asked her to put a little top five together for me, and she sent me a spreadsheet.
Yay, Chrissy.
And she just rounded it up to her with one more song at the as we were at a friend's house for a little, just a couple burgers, and she's like, well, add that one to my list, and it makes it a rounds it off to an even 90 of her favorite Tom Petty songs.
Wow.
Yikes.
And the it's in alphabetical order, so I don't know which ones are, you know, really at the top, other than she said she put a little mark next to them. So I'll run through those later on real quick. But yeah, that's how big of a fan I live with is, 90, her top 90 is 90. Her top five. So yeah, I thought you guys would get a kick out of that. I love a lot of his stuff too. So, what was your first pick, Rose?
Or your number five? Didn't.
You didn't do it yet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is your number five pick here?
Well, I'm actually gonna go with a song from the Hard Promises album, and it's a kind of a quirky reason. The album came out in 1981, and I remember The Waiting being used for a ketchup song on a commercial.
Was it Heinz?
It might have been, you know, they were still in those goofy bottles, and, you know, and all of a sudden I'm hearing The Waiting is the hardest, and I'm like, what, Tom Petty on a commercial? What the hell? And I'm like, what? I always get so indignant when I hear some of my favorite stuff being turned into commercials. Like when Burger King did the Melt With You. I know the band, you know, probably like sold them a copyright or something, but still it sucks, you know?
Yeah.
But that's kind of like my go-to when I have to explain, you know, when you have to explain something, I just, you know, and somebody will say, like, oh, man, this traffic is really sucky out here today. And I'm and try to really get that inflection in there so they'll catch that, you know, it's the Tom Petty song. Yeah. And then they look at me like, really, was that necessary? Yeah, it was.
Yes.
Because it's a great song. It's life lessons. So shut up, you know. Tom Petty song is about life, you know. It's just his experiences, and he lives so much of it. You know, surely you could take that little nugget of truth and just open up a can and shut the hell up. But, yeah, so that's my top five, just because it's very true.
You know, I think that's something about Tom Petty that you got to love is that, you know, there's a lot of musicians out there and a lot of songs out there that are a lot of fluff, but he really hits it home with a lot of his lyrics. I mean, he really is telling a story of what most people have to go through, you know, and it's so real. He's a real songwriter, you know.
Yes.
So yeah. That's, and The Waiting is, you know, it's definitely one of the better ones. Well, how do you say it? it's crazy, right. You know, it's one of his best. Well, there's 90 best according to my wife, so
there you go.
And that was actually in her top five. The Waiting is in her top five.
Nice.
Well, you know, I had a hard time like putting these in a specific order. Mm-hmm. But one that I just love to crank up and it was from the Wildflowers album, and I didn't realize I liked the Wildflowers album as much as I do. Because I didn't buy it as an album, you know. You heard a lot of singles, and then later, as your, you know, as digital age is starting to come about and stuff, you just start copying music and making mixtapes and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that this one wasn't until the 90s, and that's You Wreck Me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a jamming, just a good jamming song. And that 1994, I really thought it was earlier than that, because if you listen to the song, it has a lot of that sound of his early career.
It does.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like it could have been right off of Damn the Torpedoes. So mm-hmm. anyway,
absolutely.
That's my number five pick.
That's a good transition because that's actually my number four pick.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, exactly what you said. It sounds definitely a lot earlier, and you could have just ripped it off any of those earlier albums. I have another website that I'm a part of that's a tribute to this 80s cartoon Mask, Mobile Armored Strike Command. And mm-hmm. back several years ago, I decided to do several little like music videos of my own, taking footage from the cartoon and putting it to a song. And there's one character in there who rides a motorcycle, and every time he's in one of the episodes, he wrecks. He just will flip the bike, he'll go running into a tree or something. And I was like, all right, I got to put something together. And I picked that song. And so I know that song pretty well. And it is one of those that you can just, oh my gosh, just crank it up in the car. Mm-hmm. And it's got that awesome drive to it and power behind it. And I put it to that. So mm-hmm. that's definitely one of my favorite Tom Petty tracks. You Wreck Me. And I used to watch NASCAR a little bit more than I do now, and which I hardly ever watch it now, but they used to use that song a lot during their broadcasts and stuff, showing like highlights of, you know, cars or wrecks and stuff from previous races. So, yeah, I like the pick. It's a great song.
Rose, you like that one?
I've only heard it a couple times, but I did like it when I heard it.
Oh yeah, you gotta crank that one up.
Yeah,
it's a good one. So that brings us to I guess that was your number four pick. So yep. Why don't we go to Rose for your number four pick?
Well, one of my favorites actually stems from a video that he did. Just to show his versatility, because he did have quite a sense of humor. The song's called Running Down a Dream from the Full Moon Fever album, and he's dressed as the Mad Hatter. And I would always be like, okay, video's on. You know, because you always have certain videos that you like to watch in complete silence without anybody interrupting you. Mm-hmm. That was definitely one of them. And it just, you know, just showcased his, like I said, his broad abilities and talents, you know, that you would find later on. You know, his acting career kind of kicked off a little bit, and he was in various things. And just to interject, just briefly, my daughter, I found out that he passed away, my daughter called me at work. And she's a big King of the Hill fan. And she says, Mama, Lucky's dead. And I'm like, huh? She's like, Tom Petty, Lucky, King of the Hill. I'm like, oh, shit, what? You know, and it's just like that's how she related, you know, to him. Hmm. But it was through his character at King of the Hill, although she did know some of the songs. But like I said, he, you know, but that was just who he was. He wasn't afraid to try new things. And, the song is pretty simplistic when you think about it, you know, running down a dream, you know, that never would come for me. I think that's pretty much the story of most people's lives. But, you know, you just don't give up. You just keep going. And I think a lot of his own life, and I think it's probably why he was such a good songwriter, because he wrote about what he knew. And, you know, if he didn't know who he was, you know, he suffered, you know, some pretty huge demons. But I always liked that as a music video, you know, because it was entertaining. And most music videos had to be entertaining. But you didn't really think that, you know, someone who was pretty, like, rock and roll, kind of straight. It was like Bruce Springsteen, you know, breaking out and doing something crazy, even though he did do that. But you think of certain artists and you think, okay, well, they're kind of locked into this, you know, view of who we think they are. And then all of a sudden they do something completely over the top and you're like, oh man, that's awesome. I like that. So, but yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That album. So I remember buying that on cassette because I still had a Walkman.
Yeah.
So I know CDs were pretty heavy in the market by that point.
Yeah.
But I remember I had just moved to Chicago and I'd gone back to California to visit family, and I walked, it was probably about a mile and a half to the mall.
Mm.
And I went to the record store that, you know, when we used to have record stores. I went into the record store and that I bought that cassette and I listened to the thing walking back to the house, and like every song on that album was like, just, I'm like, wow, this is really good. This is another, wow, this is really good. And it just kept going. And, mm-hmm. I remember that specifically. I can, you know, I can picture the cassette, the cassette. I know the album cover was the same thing with him on it, but I just remember getting that and having it in my hand and opening it up and putting it in my cassette, my little Walkman, as I was going back, and just really very vivid memories of that album. So it's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Love that album. So many songs that are like a little bit deeper in the tracks that people don't know about, you know? So, but yeah, Running Down a Dream. And Jason, you mentioned this album,
mm-hmm.
In one of your podcasts, and that's what kind of inspired me to reach out to you. I'm like, that sounded like it was very important to him at the time.
Yeah,
tell us a little bit about that story.
I will, but I'm gonna do it later.
Okay. I'm sorry about that. I'm jumping ahead for you.
No, it's fine. And just bouncing off of what Rose said is what drew me really to Tom Petty at first was the videos, the music videos on MTV. And he had several very distinct videos when you watched them, which I'll get into a little bit later. But yeah, that was the draw. And it was almost, well, there's several of them out there. One is like, you know, like Peter Gabriel's Sledgehammer and, Genesis. What's the Genesis one with the puppets?
Land of Confusion.
Yeah, Land of Confusion. Yes. Yeah. So there's some that they're just like mesmerizing almost, and a couple that, which I'll get into, were like that for Tom Petty for me. So that's what kind of drew me first into his music. So I can understand. Yeah, you just shut up. I want to watch this. You know, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Scott, with your number three.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
What are we up to? Number three, yeah.
Yeah, number three. Let's see. No, it's number four for me.
Four for you, yes, I'm sorry.
You piggybacked off of my
list. Who's hosting this show?
So, I got to go with one that's off of Damn the Torpedoes, and it's Shadow of a Doubt, Complex Kid. I don't know why that one always has just spoken to me. It's just, I just love the sound of it, the groove to it. It's just a fun song to listen to. It's always one that just sticks out to me when like we're playing, you know, I'll have Tom Petty on Pandora or something. And, that song will come on and I'll have to stop for a second and just jam out to it for a little bit. And so you guys know this one?
I don't.
Yeah, it's a good one. You should check it out.
Yeah, I know it somewhat. It's not one of my favorite ones to go back to, essentially off that album. But I can appreciate that pick, yeah.
That album is really hard to choose, like, a couple of good ones off there. Cause,
right.
Because that whole album is amazing. It's really incredible. It's got so many great songs on it. Even some of the deeper tracks are just incredible. That's the track number four off that one. It's a really good song. You might want to revisit it sometime and give it a good listen. So anyway, so that was my number four pick.
Sweet.
So Jason, now we're down to your number three already.
Yeah. So number three is one of those that had a crazy video where he is, and I don't, maybe Rose was getting a couple mixed up there, but this is where he is the Mad Hatter in Alice in Wonderland. It's Don't Come Around Here No More. I remember just being memorized by that, and they get to the part where they like cut up Alice like a cake, like a piece of cake, and they just kind of dive into her, you know, and it's just crazy. It's a crazy video. But it's got a different kind of a setup, a beat, a rhythm to that song.
Yeah.
It's got that drum track, you know, it's a more of an electric drum track that starts it off and then just wails, and it's got that almost like a mystic kind of keyboard section in it too. A different song from, you know, most of it's more rock and roll tracks, and it fit that. I thought it fit that music video pretty well. Just the style of the song, and then, you know, diving into Alice in Wonderland, him opening the book and then shutting the book at the end of the video. Mm-hmm. You know, that was definitely one of my probably one of the first songs that really drew me into Tom Petty, because that was, what album was that? I think that was mid-80s.
Wasn't that Running Down a Dream?
That was
Full Moon Fever. Full Moon Fever.
Yeah.
I don't think so. No, it was earlier. No. Southern Accents in 85.
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah, that, it is. Yeah. Wow.
So that was one of the ones I think that really drew me into Tom Petty initially. So that's why I had to put that one up a little bit higher.
Yeah. Did Tim Burton have anything to do with the direction of that video? I mean, because it could have been very easily.
True. Very true. No, it's true. I did take a peek. Trying to remember now as I'm clicking around here, but that's a very good call. Very good description of that video. Very Tim Burton-esque.
Yeah. I love that video. Yeah. That's one. It's one that caught your attention on MTV. There's no doubt about it. And you're right. It's like, it's kind of like those videos that were that iconic, like Sledgehammer and a couple others that were out there that were just really very imaginative and fun and quirky and just interesting. They really, he took a whole another storyline, Alice in Wonderland, and put it to this song, which really, this song, if you listen to the lyrics, I you would never guess that it had anything to do with Alice in Wonderland, but somehow he was able to tie it all together and make it seem like that. It was great, man. This is a great pick.
Thanks.
Very strange. It does have a different sound to it, which was really almost, he had the kind of a sitar sound in there.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then that strange drum beat, you know, it's a really good one.
And you got that kind of, hey, you know, they yell throughout the song.
Yeah.
And you got to hit that right, you know, when I'm what you would call I do like windshield karaoke when I'm driving down the street, you know, when I got something, and then I'll be singing at the top of my lungs, and you got to get that hey in there, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Funny.
So, Rose, what's your take on this one?
Oh, it's great. Yes, you were right, Jason. Thank you for correcting my faux pas. Running Down Dream is actually animated.
Yeah.
And I had to look it up because I don't like being wrong. And there's like this little guy dressed as like some little character with a big cigar comes and wakes him up and takes him up into a ladder and and he's accosted by giant dinosaurs or something. I don't know. But yeah, however, the Don't Come Around Here No More was actually on my list. But were we just talking about that? I just lost my train of thought.
Yes.
Is that what you were just saying? Yes.
Yes.
Just the whole rhythm of that song. And then there's a part at the end where it kind of picks up, the tempo picks up.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
And, you know, you got the hey, and then it's like, you know, yeah. It's almost like, I don't want to say it's an opera, but it's very intricate. The whole piece is just very elaborate. And, but you listen to the words and it's extremely simplistic. And, you know, this is, don't come around here. Whatever you're looking for, ain't nobody got it. So just get to stepping, you know. And yeah. It kind of makes you wonder what it was about. Hmm. Like if he was talking to a person or he was talking to a thing or a demon, mm-hmm. you know, something that he was going through. It's just, it could be used in, you know, so many different ways. So that's a really good thing.
That's a good point about the song picking up, too. I'd forgotten about that. But that end part sounds more like Tom Petty's music, his rock and roll. Mm-hmm. And then, mm-hmm. you know, the transition between that. And there's a lot of artists. Prince comes to mind that did a mm-hmm. lot of different rhythms within the same track. And mm-hmm. that one was very unique in that it didn't sound like Tom at the beginning. Well, of course, you mm-hmm. really can't mistake his voice, but
right.
the whole sound. And then it just kicks in at the end. And then it sounds like Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. So.
Right. Right. Definitely.
There's also a comic, Tim Hawkins. I don't know if y'all have seen his stuff. He's kind of like the, I guess I would call him the Christian Weird Al. He does this bit with rock stars getting older, and he takes this song and he uses like that old man kind of voice, and he's like, "Don't come in my yard no more," and he goes into that. Oh, it's great. Just to make life of that. But he does several other artists too, but
that's too funny. I like that.
So we're going to be on Rose's number three, right?
Yeah.
So before we go I want to mention real quick, you know, a big part of Tom Petty is the Heartbreakers.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Campbell, Ben Montench, Stan Lynch, Howie Epstein, and, you know, Howie had some serious demons too. But then you had Ron Blair. And what a great lineup of musicians. When you watch that documentary, you get to see their stories too. And he really surrounded himself with talent, and that helped propel him into what he was able to do, in my opinion. I think you surround yourself with the right people and you're gonna go places. And those guys really all very talented. And I actually, Chrissy and I saw them live back in, you know, this had to be about 2013, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And what a great show. We found these great tickets through Mike Campbell. He has a dog rescue, or he like sponsors a dog rescue
mm-hmm.
that offers tickets to a section, like in the, you know, it's like in the first 15 or 20 rows. He has this whole section bought up, and he offers them at a really good price, and all the proceeds go to this dog rescue that he has. Well, I don't even know how I found out about it, but I bought tickets, you know, and I got mm-hmm. like ninth row for Tom Petty, and they were, you know, a couple hundred bucks a piece, but still, you're talking ninth row, and like it was unbelievable. But yeah, I just wanted to mention the rest of his band because they should get some credit too.
No, absolutely.
Tom Petty was the, you know, he's the spine, but they're all the appendages.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
you
think about pretty much any band and how much they change out, you know, people, and something happens, somebody gets pissed off, and they, you know, bring in somebody new, even lead singers. Yeah. And I think for the most part, they've stuck together, you know, for long periods of time, several from the beginning, I know. And then some that have, who was it that somebody passed away?
Howie Epstein.
Howie Epstein, yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, you just think about beyond that kind of circumstance, how much they've stayed together over the years.
Oh, yeah.
And that's got a lot to do with just the longevity of Tom's career, and even, you know, some of the albums that weren't necessarily, and the Heartbreakers that were just Tom Petty solo albums, a lot of those guys, you know, were in studio with him as right. well. Mm-hmm. So,
right. Well, I know another thing about Mike Campbell is that he's actually touring with Fleetwood Mac now because they had another discrepancy with Lindsey Buckingham. So in, I think it's February. Yeah. I think it's February. They're coming down here to Florida, and Chrissy wants to go see Fleetwood Mac, you know, just to see Fleetwood Mac. But she's like, oh, but Mike Campbell's going to be there too. So it'd be, you know, it's like a double whammy.
A twofer.
So anyway,
that's cool.
Yeah, it's a good band. They've been together for a long time, so they know how to play off each other. And Ben Montench is a big influence. I know Tom always spoke very highly of his writing skills. But anyway, let's go on to Rose's number three pick.
Gosh, I thought I'd reset. Like, where am I? My number three. Oh, I've actually got two off of the. But I'll only mention one. In all fairness, it could be a follow up one. The 1979 Damn the Torpedoes album, which was recorded in Studio City in California. Some of the best albums in the world were recorded in Studio City. And if you ever saw the documentary about that, you need to. It's amazing. And Damn the Torpedoes actually went 3 times platinum. That's how impressive that album was. Don't Do Me Like That is another one of my favorites, mainly because, you know, he starts out, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine, you know, and he's telling me a story, and he had a girl, and then she broke up with him, and he's like, oh, don't do me like that. It is just like it could have been two people talking and just having a cup of coffee or beer or whatever, you know, and he turned a conversation into a song. Mm-hmm. I know people do it all the time, but once again, it's heartfelt and relatable and just one of these, you know, it's upbeat, you know, very upbeat, poppy. And, you know, if you listen to the lyrics, you kind of go, oh, that sucks, you know, but it's all truth. And one of the, you know, redeeming qualities I find in many human beings is their ability to be real and honest. And time for fake people. And it's just, I don't know, such a great song on so many levels. You know, it just tells you about heartache and pain and in a nice poppy, upbeat kind of way. Kind of like Morrissey, except, you know, it actually sounds better. But
I like it.
But so that's my third one, because that's an excellent album, just hands down. If anybody doesn't know that, they need to get a
clue. Can you see? Yeah, that's a good one.
What do you hurt me? It'll tell you lies. Okay.
He's got a lot.
Down the side. Sorry. Yeah.
Just listening to you, or the way you described that song too, there's another one on Damn the Torpedoes. Here Comes My Girl, which is just missed my top five. And I just love that one, because he's just basically talking to you for a while. You know, sometimes I feel, you know, and he just goes on, and he just starts talking, and then he just breaks into the chorus. So a lot of those were they just seem like relatable songs and easy, really easy storytelling, you know, and just that one, I think that one's probably the the one my wife hates the most because he's just mumbling. What is he talking about? You know. But I love it. I don't know. It's cool.
It is. That one's on my list. That was the other one I was mentioning.
Cool.
All right. This album just altogether. As I was looking through all the songs and all the albums, I'm like, we really could have done like a top five albums.
It's true.
And this one would probably be number one for me. This album is just unbelievable. It's so good. Don't do me like that. In fact, that kind of segues into my next pick is on this album also. And that's You Tell Me. And it's another kind of a deep cut, and a lot of people don't know it. In fact, my wife even goes, wait, do I know that one? And if you hear it, you'll go, oh yeah, I recognize it now. But you know, there's just some of those deeper cuts that really, really that I like, that it just seem a little bit they speak to me a little bit deeper on a deeper level, some of these. So You Tell Me, it's a really good song. If you guys don't know it, if you're not familiar with it, like I said with the other one, go back and take another listen to it. In fact, I'm going to listen to this album from like front to, you know, just beginning to end, because it's got every song on it. Every song on is just an awesome song. So do you guys know You Tell Me at all?
I don't.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, you do? Oh, good.
Yeah. No, and I'll just piggyback on that. Just go out to YouTube. If you're listening to this and you've never listened to Damn the Torpedoes, just go out to YouTube and just listen to the whole album. And you'll see what we're talking about, because there's just so many of his albums that you can just listen to front to back, as we used to say. And
right.
and you know, it's not I went through that era in the 90s where it was all about the greatest hits, and then it was all about the singles, like the singles, you know, the cassettes that were just singles. I had a million of those things. And I feel like that was so pushed on us, just the singles, that you miss a lot of these deep cuts. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the albums that you were just so good from the first song to the last song. And this is definitely one of those albums.
Yeah.
And the album had meaning too, you know, the whole Damn the Torpedoes, right, with the whole the problems that he was having with the recording company and not getting the right amount of money, and you know, they're getting all the artists are getting screwed and whatnot, and he made a stand, and this was it turned out to be a pretty decent album, selling album to make a stand with, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was definitely. I was looking at what Rose was saying there. I think this one went triple platinum. The only other ones above that are The Greatest Hits, and I think that was like 12 or 13 times platinum, and then Full Moon Fever. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's for being what it was and still making a hit out of it is just an awesome story.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it changed the music industry. Like, it changed the way recording artists were getting paid with their royalties. So he made a huge impact, not just musically, to influence us, you know, and the love of his music for us, but he changed it for a lot of artists. He made it a lot better. Lot better place to be doing business in. So anyway, I'm sorry, I got on a little tangent there.
That's okay.
That's good.
That's what I do.
What it's all about.
That's what I do.
So Tom Petty has quite the huge career, so we're going to split this episode up into two parts. Please come back next week and check out part two as Scott and Rose and Jason continue their discussion on their top five songs from Tom Petty and his amazing career. So, also, before we go, please go to iTunes and leave a review for the show. Or visit our website at BonsaiRetroClub.com. Check out everything there, and you can click on a couple links there to either get to our Twitter feed or Facebook page, or even if you feel so inclined, go to our Patreon and help support the show. Also, please go to Jason's page, rediscoverthe80s.com, and go and to iTunes and leave a review for his podcast. Go check out his podcast sometime too. It's a lot of fun. He goes over a lot of great, great 80s stuff. So please come back next week and talk to you later. Oh, and as Dave always says, be excellent to each other.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel said!
Hey, Bonsai!
Bonsai!
Bonsai!